And from the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the pandemic revealed just how critical manufacturing is for vaccines and other medicines. Now there's high demand in the state for new factories to do what's called biomanufacturing and the workforce needed to make it happen. And this demand isn't just for workers with advanced degrees. For more on this, we're joined by GBH's Liz Nieslas. Hi, Liz. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Arun. It's nice to be with you.
So give us a bit of background on this. Where is the demand coming from?
Well, certainly the pandemic triggered not only some of the demand for biomanufacturing, it put a huge spotlight on the whole life sciences sector. But this demand has really been building for a while. So massive amounts of money have been poured into life sciences in the state, and 2020 was a record-breaking year for venture capital in that sector. And I'm also told for money from the federal government, from the NIH. The first quarter of this year was also huge. So, Arun, to a large extent, you just have to follow the money, which fuels the growth. And, you know, much of that goes into the development of drugs and medicines. But when you have discoveries that are ready to come out of the lab or products to be made, that's the biomanufacturing part. So, you know, pre-COVID, there was already a rise in hiring going on. And a lot of industries saw a dip in the first half of 2020. Life sciences only had a little bit of a pause, and then things really took off, even during the pandemic. So they actually saw an increase in employment over 2019.
So who exactly is being hired? Who's in demand? What kind of workers?
Well, the biggest demand certainly is for those with advanced degrees and also with management experience. That, according to recent surveys of those in the industry, those are some of the toughest spots to fill. But when you're putting together these kinds of factories, they just can't operate without also filling the entry-level ranks. So there is certificate training that can prepare people for entry-level jobs, and they just need a high school degree or the equivalent. And the profile, Arun, of who can do this kind of work, it isn't always what you would assume. I spoke to Carl Lawton, who's the director of the Massachusetts Biomanufacturing Center, and he's also a professor at UMass Lowell. He described what he called the ideal student in that pool. He said, you know, it's the kind of student that gets bored, smart, understands the material, but, you know, who was the kid in the back of the classroom cracking jokes, getting in trouble. Those turn out to be the ideal students because they're smart and many times they're driven. And once that type of person gets a foot in the door, and many of these companies say this, you show up on time, you show that drive, then advancement is possible.
So when you have these kind of students that are the kind of workers that you want, where do they go to get the training they need to have?
So that's where some of this shortage also seems to lie. These are programs that are at community colleges in Massachusetts. There's Bunker Hill and Middlesex, for example. But there are also nonprofits that are doing this kind of certificate training. There's a program at Just a Start in Cambridge and in Gloucester, the Gloucester Biotechnology Academy. So they say in as fast as 9 months, they take students without math or science background, and they can train them for entry-level jobs in biotech, jobs like quality control. So, for example, keeping an eye on temperatures of equipment, consistency in different processes. And they are currently working on expanding their biomanufacturing training. So I spoke to John Doyle, who's the education director for the Gloucester Biotechnology Academy, and he says he gets many more applicants than he has places for, and he gets plenty of calls from the industry.
The demand is very high across the board. Biomanufacturing and biotechnology in general, we hear from our employers that they don't have enough people to fill the positions that they need, especially at the entry level.
Liz, I got to think that jobs like these, you know, the towns, cities, municipalities have got to be pretty excited about that.
Absolutely, Arun. So the map of which municipalities are getting in on biotech and biomanufacturing is really growing right now. You know, Somerville, Newton, Needham, Burlington, Norwood, Mass got a huge boost from the presence of Moderna. Moderna's now building a second plant. I spent time in Chelsea, which is a city not far from Boston, very close to the airport. They're touting a lot of these sort of features. I spent time with city manager Tom Ambrosino. They have also eased regulations. They want to improve infrastructure for companies. They have an entire area. They say it would be great for this type of plant. But Chelsea has a particular aim. Here's what Tom Ambrosino had to say.
We're really interested in bringing in employers that pay good living wages to people that don't necessarily need a master's degree or doctorate in order to have a job.
So Ambrosino is hoping that companies will come, and specifically he wants jobs for the city's particular workers. Many of them enter the workforce with only high school degrees. Biomanufacturing entry-level jobs pay what's considered good living wages. And so this is what Chelsea is aiming for.
This is super interesting, Liz. I mean, if you think how both Donald Trump and Joe Biden have talked about wanting to have manufacturing jobs stay in the U.S. And also, I just had a lot of assumptions about high-tech education infrastructure in this area that were kind of off. It's kind of amazing this is coming together in this way.
It's really interesting because this is the kind of manufacturing where the product is of such high value that it does make building the plants locally, domestically, it makes it worthwhile.
Great reporting, Liz. Thank you.
Thanks, Arun.
That's GBH reporter Liz Nieslaus. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Wait times for children's mental health services have ballooned during the pandemic, an issue we highlighted in yesterday's episode. Now, some good news on that front. Cambridge Health Alliance opened the first of three planned inpatient psychiatric units for kids at Somerville Hospital today. The unit will have 21 psychiatric beds for children, and more will open at the hospital later this year for a net increase of 42 beds. Pediatric psychiatry chief Dr. Jacob Venter says the pandemic has highlighted the need for more community-based and inpatient capacity.
Nobody wants to see a child admitted to an inpatient unit. It's a very, very difficult experience. You know, when you sit with a parent whose kiddo has gotten to the point where they do need this care, it's really heartbreaking to hear how hard they've tried.
Cambridge Health Alliance says close to 80 kids are on its bed wait list, many of them waiting in emergency rooms. Across the Charles in Boston, State Education Commissioner Jeff Riley is threatening to withhold millions in federal pandemic relief funds from Boston Public Schools over concerns with the school committee. Three committee members have resigned this year for making racially insensitive comments, and two seats remain open as a flood of pandemic relief money known as ESSER rolls out in phases.
The fact that there's nearly $500 million, I think it's $430 million that are coming in ESSER funding, makes me nervous about what's happening in Boston. I think my team will be exploring the possibility of maybe temporarily freezing like ESSER 2 and 3.
Riley says he's concerned that the school committee's diminished size would hinder its ability to make good decisions about how those millions would be spent. And finally, looking ahead to the 2022 governor's race, State Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz has made her bid for the state's highest office official. The 43-year-old Democrat made her announcement via campaign video, and she promised urgent change on issues like infrastructure and income inequality.
The trouble is, that kind of urgency in our state government is still the exception rather than the rule. Too many leaders are more interested in keeping power than in doing something with it. I'm running for governor to change that.
Chang Diaz was the first Latina elected to the state Senate in 2008, where she continues to represent parts of Boston. Two other Democrats have already entered the race, former state senator Ben Downing and Harvard professor Danielle Allen. Republican Governor Charlie Baker has yet to say if he'll run for a third term. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. You like podcasts. Here's one more you might enjoy. From the producers of GBH's Antiques Roadshow, Detours is a podcast about what happens to all those antiques after the cameras leave town. Join Adam Monahan, longtime producer of Roadshow, for stories of sales, fakes, and even federal crimes. Subscribe to Detours wherever you get your podcasts.